John 40, a prayer for child giving, page 551 in Good News Bible. I praise you, Lord, because you have saved me and kept my enemies from gloating over me. I cried to you for help, O Lord my God, and you healed me. You kept me from the grave. I was on my way to the depths below, but you restored my life. Sing praise to the Lord, all your faithful people. Remember what the Holy One has done, and give him thanks. His anger lasts only a moment, his goodness for a lifetime. Tears may flow in the night, but joy comes in the morning. I felt secure and said to myself, I'll never be defeated. You were good to me, Lord. You protected me like a mountain fortress, but then you hid yourself from me, and I was afraid. I called to you, Lord. I begged for your help. What will you gain from my death? What profit from my going to the grave? Are dead people able to praise you? Can they proclaim your unfailing goodness? Hear me, Lord, and be merciful. Help me, Lord. You have changed my sadness into a joyful dance. You have taken away my sorrow and surrounded me with joy. So I will not be silent. I will sing praise to you. Lord, you are my God. I will give you thanks forever.
The second reading is from St. John's Gospel, chapter 21, verses 1 to 19, and it's on page 145 of the Pew Bibles in the New Testament section. Jesus appears to the seven disciples. After this, Jesus appeared once more to his disciples at Lake Tiberias. This is how it happened. Simon Peter, Thomas called the twin, Nathanael, the one from Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two other disciples of Jesus were all together. Simon Peter said to the others, I'm going fishing. We will come with you, they told him. So they went out in a boat, but all that night they did not catch a thing. As the sun was rising, Jesus stood at the water's edge, but the disciples did not know that it was Jesus. Then he asked them, young men, haven't you caught anything? Not a thing, they answered. He said to them, throw your net out on the right side of the boat, and you will catch some. So they threw the net out and could not put it back in because they had caught so many fish. The disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, it is the Lord. When Peter heard that it was the Lord, he wrapped his outer garment around him, for he had taken his clothes off, and jumped into the water. The other disciples came to shore in the boat, pulling the net full of fish. They were not very far from land, about 100 meters away, when they stepped ashore, and they saw a charcoal fire, and there with the fish on it and some bread. And Jesus said to them, bring some of the fish you have just caught. Simon Peter went aboard and dragged the nets ashore full of big fish. In all, there were so many that the net did not tear. Jesus said to them, come and eat. None of the disciples dared ask him, who are you? Because they knew it was the Lord. So Jesus went over, took the bread and gave it to them, and he did the same with the fish. This then was the third time Jesus appeared to the disciples after he was raised from the dead. After they had eaten, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these others do? Yes, Lord, he answers, you know that I love you. Jesus said to him, take care of my lambs. A second time Jesus said to him, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Yes, Lord, he answered, you know that I love you. Jesus said to him, "Take care of my sheep." A third time Jesus said, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter was sad because Jesus asked him the third time, "Do you love me?" So he said to him, "Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Take care of my sheep. I'm telling you the truth. When you were young, you used to get ready and go everywhere you wanted to. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands and someone else will bind you and take you where you don't want to go." In saying this, Jesus was indicating the way in which Peter would die and bring glory to God. Then Jesus said to him, "Follow me." Praise be to God.
So the disciples hang up the sign outside, don't they? Perhaps ought to get one made for when I retire, so I can go back and learn how to fish again. Gone fishing. The disciples must have been sad, bewildered, confused. All the things that had happened over those few weeks of Passover. Perhaps no different in some ways to ourselves. When life gets tough and difficult, when we become lost, confused, perhaps even afraid, when life changes in a way that we don't expect, we don't need, we don't want, and perhaps even we don't deserve, there's a tendency to run away, to turn our back on what's going on, to put our hands over our ears, to cover our eyes. We feel insecure and afraid. And so often in those situations, our natural instinct seems to kick in, doesn't it? We look for somewhere safe, something familiar. In some ways, we go back to what we know. Perhaps what we think we're good at, what we're able to cope with. But we end up reverting. Perhaps reverting to someone we used to be. Someone we feel comfortable with. And that's exactly what Peter and his six friends did. You see, they did what they thought they were good at and what they thought they knew. They went back to the Sea of Galilee, Lake Tiberias, in our reading. But what they hadn't realised was that they weren't returning to their old ways. They were, in fact, going back to where it had all began 3 years before. What had it all meant? The 3 years of discipleship, following Jesus, sharing his life. What did it all mean? The encounter in the upper room, the cross, the empty tomb, the house where they were locked inside, and suddenly Jesus appeared. And it's Peter that makes the decision. Peter, almost the impetuous fool, jumping in with both feet and very often getting it wrong. Peter says, come on, let's go fishing. And so they leave Jerusalem and all those events behind them and go back to what they think they know and what they think they're good at. But that's not the real reason for going back. Perhaps it was because they were doing something that was familiar, that was comfortable, which actually, though, all those years ago had been quite easy. But they were going back to a life before their encounter with Jesus. But there was something in this going back to where it had all began. They were fishing and Jesus came walking along the beach and called them to be fishers of men. Was Peter trying to escape by going back to his past? Was he trying to find the answers for his future? See, we can often turn and go back to what we know, leaving places and people, perhaps even trying to leave our life behind us. But we can never forget that wherever we go, Jesus is with us because he is part of our life, part of us. And we should never forget that God created us in his image. Peter and his friends may have left Jerusalem, tried to get away from it all by going fishing. But they couldn't get away from the 3 years of discipleship. These were key events, special events, that changed their lives forever. They could never go back. They would never be the same people again. And as they recalled the events of the Last Supper, the arrest, Peter's denial, the crowing rooster, the cross, and the empty tomb. And Jesus, standing there on the lake, with Jesus and his friends fishing for answers. What have these last 3 years been about? Who was Jesus? Where is he? Who am I? What will I do now? Where will I go? Peter is searching for the meaning of life. And so they're there on the lake, fishing all night in the darkness, trying to make some sense of all that had gone on. How often do we find ourselves in a dark place, worried and concerned, fearful, wondering what's going to happen?
I'm sure we've all been there, fishing in the darkness and not catching anything. And suddenly this stranger standing on the shore. Haven't you caught anything? They're probably at the point of rowing into shore, even more confused, bewildered. We can't fish anymore. We've lost the skill. Look, we've been out here all night and caught nothing. But it was a statement of fact. Jesus knew that they had caught nothing, that the nets and the boat were empty as the disciples felt at that moment in time. And for Peter himself, living with the pain of his denial of Jesus. In some ways, Peter was fishing on the Good Friday side of the boat, reflecting Jesus' death. You see, there were no fish, no answers, no way forward. And sometimes it's a bit like us when we're fishing on the wrong side. And so Jesus, standing on the shore, says, "Put your net on the other side." And I'm sure they must have thought, "Well, look, we've been at it all night and not caught anything. What's the point of fishing on the other side of the boat?" And how often do we feel like that? We've been trying to do something, and then some smart person comes along and says, "Oh, why don't you try this?" And you go, "Oh." But they took Jesus at his word. Cast the net on the other side of the boat. And I always remember from my Sunday school days how many fish they caught. 100, and it must have been a significant catch. Normally with numbers in scripture, they add up to something. There's some multiple of something or other, or some combination, some reflection of something, but I've never found anything that equals 153, except the number of fish in the net. It must have been a significant event for them to have counted them all. So many that the net probably would have broken. But it didn't. And Peter, realizing who it is after John tells him, jumps in again with both feet, doesn't he? Puts his outer garment in, jumps straight into the sea. It's Jesus, thank goodness. Now, if I'd have been the others left in the boat, I would have been grumbling by now. Pair of hands short, trying to get all this lot back to shore. And how often do we find ourselves in that situation? But no, they manage it. And I can imagine others being there, coming to help, amazed at the wonderful catch. And there Jesus had prepared breakfast for them. A small charcoal fire, some bread, some fish. And suddenly the darkness of night had turned into a brightness of a new morning. A bright sunny day. Breakfast on the beach with Jesus. Suddenly that emptiness had been filled, just like the net miraculously filled with fish. You see, they turn from the Easter of Good Friday to the Sunday of Easter Day, the empty tomb, the risen Jesus, the Saviour. And finally, Peter's vindication and acceptance by Jesus. That love and the forgiveness that only Jesus is able to give. When Jesus marked out one by one Peter's denial. Do you love me? Yes, Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you. And Jesus charged to Peter to care for his flock. And so the message of Easter, of our dark night, is the empty tomb, the risen Jesus, the love that reaches out to meet our needs and encourages us not to look back, but to look forward. Peter was given an indication of his imprisonment and his death. That must have been terrifying. But also, it's terrifying facing the unknown. But Jesus promised we wouldn't do it alone. We can't turn round and go back. We could stay still. But the greatest challenge is to go on into the unknown. One of my favourite programmes on TV has got nothing to do with fishing. It's Star Trek. And dear Vivian goes, oh dear, not Star Trek again. But you know, there are some immortal words which those of you that may watch Star Trek will know. To boldly go when no one has gone before. What a challenge that is as we move from Good Friday to Easter Sunday and the joy of the risen Jesus, to go where no one has gone before.